fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Prince Nestor sitting in for Sun Yang in Washington. Welcome to the September 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Kenya's world 5,000 meter finalist Nicholas Kimeli won the men's 10,000 meters at the Golden Spike meeting in Leiden, Netherlands, clocking a world-leading personal best time of 26 minutes and 58 seconds. The 21-year-old, contesting his first 10,000 meters race in 3 years, ran alongside compatriot Solomon Kiplimo Boit during the early stages, passing through 3,000 meters just inside 8 minutes and 12 seconds. Boit finished second at a time of 27 minutes and 41 seconds, while Dutch athlete Mike Foppen came in third. Kimeli also scored the Golden Spike Trophy, which is often presented to the top performer of the night. In another high-quality men's 10,000-meter race, 2015 World Under 18 champion Richard Kimunyan from Kenya emerged the winner in a time of 27 minutes and 1 second, finishing just 1 second ahead of fellow Kenyan Bernard Koech, with Baden Karoki a close third. Kimunyan's time was a world lead, but lasted just 8 hours at the top of the world list before it was bettered in Leiden. I'm Prince Nestor, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Chelsea has agreed on a fee with Rennes to sign Senegalese goalkeeper Edouard Mendy. The move comes after yet another high-profile error by Chelsea's number one goalkeeper Kepa Arrizabalaga that led directly to a goal. During Sunday's 2-0 loss to Liverpool, an errant clearance by the Spain international landed right at the foot of Senegalese danger man Sadio Mane, who easily beat Arrizabalaga for his second goal of the match. Last season for Rene, Mendy kept 9 clean sheets in 24 French League appearances, compared with Kepa's 8 clean sheets in 33 Premier League appearances. Chelsea's next in action on Wednesday, when they host Championship side Barnsley in League Cup play. Arsenal has also completed signing Iceland international goalkeeper Alex Ronason to a 4-year contract from French club Dijon. Ronason makes the move to Arsenal after 2 seasons with Dijon, where he made 13 appearances for the French side in all competition last season. The 25-year-old goalkeeper has earned 5 caps for Iceland and was a member of his country squad for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. Inter Milan is set to complete the signing of midfielder Arturo Vidal from Barcelona. Vidal began his medical clearance in Milan on Monday, with the deal set to be concluded within the next 24 hours. The move will reunite the 33-year-old with manager Antonio Conte. It will be remembered that the pair won 3 successive Serie A titles together at Juventus. Luis Suarez is reportedly close to leaving Barcelona on a free transfer and is being tipped to join Atletico Madrid. The Uruguay international has 1 more year to run on the terms he signed with Barca in 2016, but was told by new coach Ronald Koeman last month that he was not part of his plans. The 33-year-old came to Barca from Liverpool in 2014 in a deal worth around $88 million and has gone on to become the club's third highest scorer of all time with 198 goals. During his time at the club, he has won 14 trophies, including 4 La Liga titles and 1 Champions League.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm Prince Nestor, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The president of Ghana's Olympic Committee, Ben Nuno Mensah, is speaking out on the challenges facing his organization. Yao Ofosulabi spoke with the Ghanaian sports administrator in Accra. Here's Yao.
Mr. Nuno Mensah, how has COVID-19 changed the plans of the Ghana Olympic Committee?
Well, the COVID situation has kind of, disturbed or unstable or, shifted a few things that would have wished we're doing. In terms of infrastructure development, I think that the minister will be the best person to, but from the little that I know, I think everything is on course. Papers have been presented to cabinet. We're looking at the possibility of putting up an Olympic style stadium in Baltimore, and that can be done within a year. Once all the papers have been signed, which I have seen a couple of drawings for the stadium, and then I know that the paper has been presented to cabinet. The only thing that maybe we haven't done, and that is also because of COVID, is maybe preparation by our athletes themselves, and that's where the challenge is. And it's nobody's fault. It's because of COVID. I would have wished by now most of our athletes are taking part in international competitions. We have a full complement of qualified athletes, and we're taking them out to go and train, to go and come and really prepare them for the Olympics. But it's unfortunate. You can't blame anybody but what has happened. But I think that that notwithstanding, I know what other countries are doing, and we can also start. And fortunately for us, at least we've released participation in non-contact sports. So I can see some of our athletes training. At least I know the weightlifters are training on a daily basis. So I'm hoping that we can make up for the time loss immediately after December, when hopefully we'd have found a vaccine. We can start accelerating our preparation, and we can make up. Hopefully we can make up, but it's a learning process for us, and I'm sure that next year or before the next Olympic Games, we'll probably be doing things different and better than we've done for 2020.
What is the IOC's position to Ghana on opening up sports to ensure the safety of athletes?
I am not. I think that the president is on course. I'm also consulted on, as and when or what we need to release. I'm also being guided. I believe that the president and the COVID team are being guided by what is happening globally. IOC has asked that we open up sports based on protocols that we are able to observe. The president has a responsibility to keep Ghanaians and Ghana very safe, and that also would weigh in how he decides to open up. And you see, what is important is that we should all take steps and make sure that we are observing the little protocol that is required of us, so that we don't keep spreading the disease. That is the only way we can clean it out completely and then get back to our normal life. But now, if we're having challenges, now if we're not having our normal life, I don't think that we should blame anybody. We rather need to work and make sure that each and every one of us makes it a effort. As you're protecting yourself, you're protecting others. If we do that, I'm sure with the kind of drop that we're having in this country, maybe by December, we'll not have COVID problems here, and then we can all freely go out there and lead our normal lives.
What has the postponement of the Olympic Games done to the plans of Ghana? Has it been a blessing in disguise?
Well, I'll speak from the IOC standpoint, from the organizers, and then talk about what GOC is doing. Well, IOC's position is that we need to have the Games at all costs. We need to do everything and have the Games come on. And I think that the other time I had a chat with Seiko Hashimoto, and she's also of the opinion that, look, no matter what, this Games has to come on. I think it's a very positive mentality to approach the Games. What is going to push all of us to do is to work out things and make sure that it is, at least by July 2021, it will be safe to host the Games. And that is when they say we have to do it at all costs. Yes, it's kind of pushes everybody to make sure that we're ready for the games. And I like that approach. It's a good approach and it's a good way to prepare ourselves mentally. The games, if it had come on in 2020, my brother, I would have said that Ghana wouldn't have shown the kind of things that we're capable of showing. So having it postponed for a year, it's a blessing in disguise for us.
That's Ben Nuno Mensah, the president of Ghana's Olympic Committee, and he spoke with Yao Ofosulabi in Accra.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
I'm Prince Nestor, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Manchester City began their quest for their third Premier League title in 4 years with a 3-1 victory over Wolverhampton Wanderers at Molineux on Monday. Goals from Kevin De Bruyne, Phil Foden and Gabriel Jesus secured the 3 points for City, who have now won their opening league fixture in 10 consecutive seasons, a new Premier League record. This was an excellent performance from a City side that looked keen to make a statement of intent ahead of another tilt at the title after having lost both league matches last year to the home side. In the meantime, Manchester City midfielder Ilkay Gundogan has tested positive for COVID-19. The club confirmed the 29-year-old tested positive in the latest round of testing. He's said to miss 3 matches for City while he observes a 10-day period of self-isolation in accordance with the Premier League and UK government protocol on quarantine. Gundogan is the third member of Pep Guardiola's squad to test positive for the virus, following Algerian winger Riyad Mahrez and defender Aymeric Laporte, who are both now back in training. Aston Villa also got their season up and running with a laboured 1-0 home win against 10-man Sheffield United on Monday, as English footballer of Congolese descent Ezri Konsa's second half header proved enough to settle the game. Aston Villa have now won 3 consecutive Premier League games at Villa Park for the first time since October 2007 under Martin O'Neill. I'm Prince Nestor, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. World number one men's tennis player Novak Djokovic won a record 36th Masters title by beating Diego Schwartzman in the Italian Open. The Serb, playing in his first tournament since being disqualified from this month's US Open, won 7-5 and 6-3 in the final to ensure he goes into next week's French Open on a high. The 33-year-old drew level with Rafael Nadal last month on the all-time list of Masters winners with his Western and Southern Open titles and remains unbeaten in 2020, barring his early US Open exit this month when he struck a line judge with a ball. In the women's competition, Simona Halep won her first Italian Open title as Carolina Pliskova was forced to withdraw in the second set due to a thigh injury. Halep, who skipped the U.S. Open amid coronavirus concerns, had twice finished runner-up in Rome. She took the first set 6-love in Monday's final and was leading the second 2-1 when Pliskova called time on the match. I'm Prince Nestor, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Dan Friedel caught up with world champion triathlete Katie Zafiras of the United States. She recently competed in an event in the Czech Republic, and she's getting ready for a World Cup triathlon event on October 10th on the Italian island of Sardinia. Welcome to the show, Dan and Katie.
We're joined now on the sunny side of sports by world champion triathlete Katie Zafiris of the United States. Katie has been back on the road competing after a long coronavirus-related hiatus. Katie, welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Thanks for having me again.
We were talking with a cycling expert not too long ago about the Tour de France and the fact that although it's happening in September instead of July, it was quite inspiring and exciting to see this big race back on the calendar. You know, really the diamond event of the cycling season. It would have been sad to see that fall by the wayside in 2020. We talked about some of the safety protocols and that kind of thing with the teams and the testing and the keeping the cyclists separate as much as possible. What's it been like for you in the races themselves as far as safety precautions related to the virus?
So the races, the actual race, like start to finish, is run the same as how we would normally do it, but before and after the race is very different in that we don't go to race briefing. We have a virtual race briefing. Everybody's wearing masks up until like your name is announced and you're getting on the start line, and then as soon as the race is over, like a mask is handed to you. Just everything's done with social distance, and there's just like even things that we would typically have. So like sometimes we would do course previews, and at one of the races they did a course preview, but they kind of let us go in shifts so that it wasn't just a big pack riding. In another race, they just canceled the course preview and we didn't have one. So they're definitely like making so many changes to it to make sure that these races go on. But I also really am excited that the main like beef of our sport hasn't changed and that the actual race is very similar. Oh, and we've been doing all the athletes are tested before the races and have to bring their negative COVID tests as well.
We're joined on the sunny side of sports by world tour, world champion, international triathlete Katie Zafiris from the United States. Katie was looking forward to the Olympics in 2020 when the year started. So, Katie, what was it like for you to see July and August pass by? You know, you clearly had those months circled on your calendar 4 years ago. What was it like to see the original starting time for the Tokyo Games come and go on your calendar?
I honestly don't feel like it didn't impact me so much, mainly because it's been just moved a year. So I almost think I was probably relieved in the end that it wasn't happening, only in the sense that like if it would have happened this year, it would have been so challenging and like all the uncertainty. And I'm hoping with it being next year, even if the Olympics goes on like a little bit differently or with a bit different procedures, we'll at least kind of have a feeling with other races and events that are being put on what that might look like versus if it were in 2020, I feel like it would have just been like, oh, here you go, we're trying this. And no one would have really known what the protocols and procedures were or should be. So it's been nice that we actually have like time to test that all out before next year. So while I am sad that I'm sad that nothing's normal right now and that we couldn't celebrate at the Olympics as we were hoping, I'm very optimistic for next year and just hoping that we can all come together then and compete and just unify.
Right. Well, the good thing is that there will be a number of events that will have been in the background now after the pandemic related hiatus. So everybody should be pretty familiar with the protocols and comfortable with the things that you outlined earlier in our conversation by the time we get to Tokyo in 2021. So that extra year certainly clearly has a benefit. I wanted to quickly ask you about what it's like being back on the road. I mean, you and your husband, you were just saying, spent a lot of time at home in Maryland. Did you get on each other's nerves being at home in a smaller situation and not having to pack up and get on the road to the next event every couple of weeks? What was that like, and what's it like to be back on the road again?
Yeah, I think it was challenging. I mean, Tommy and I are always together anyways, like, regardless of COVID or not. However, the difference is you're not having as much stimulus from other people, so it's, like, really just us and my parents. But so it was really nice to, like, see everybody at the races and just, like, I mean, for me competing and for Tommy, he always works at all the races. So when I'm racing, he's working for the International Triathlon Union, the federation that puts on the event, or the organization that puts on the event. So he was back in his element and I was like in mine. So that was really cool just to be able to get to do that. And like traveling, it's actually been, it's been very challenging because even like getting on the plane to go to Hamburg, to go to Germany, like we got all the paperwork we needed. We did our COVID tests like within 48 hours before we left. But even then it's still up to whatever country's border patrol on the other side is going to determine whether what you did was enough or make the final call. So it really wasn't until we like entered the country of Germany that I was like, okay, like we're here, we're like, we're gonna race and that'll be good. And then even coming to, well, we drove to the Czech Republic rather than get on a plane, so we drove 6.5 hours from the race in Germany to the race in the Czech Republic, which is one we would typically fly for because of COVID. So that was a bit different. And then like for me, I would have probably gone to Spain if things were normal for like this month, because I'm familiar with Spain. It's where we often do our training camps and like I know the training there. I just feel more comfortable. But we came to Italy because we needed to make sure that we were allowed to be in whatever country we went to, and also what the COVID situation is and what the testing situation is. So it's just like a lot more to think about and a lot more to sort out. And you're not really sure until you're actually there if it's all going to work out as expected and planned.
Well, it still sounds great that you're back in the sport that you're so good at and you've dedicated your adult life to after college. We wish you a lot of luck. All of us here at the Sunny Side of Sports will be cheering you on at the World Cup event in October in Italy. So really great to get a chance to talk with you and check in, Katie.
Thanks so much.
This world champion triathlete Katie Zafiris of the United States. She spoke with Dan Friedel recently from her training camp in Italy ahead of October's World Cup event in Sardinia. I'm Prince Nesta and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Zlatan Ibrahimovic scored twice as AC Milan got off to a winning start in Serie A against Bologna at the San Siro Stadium. The 38-year-old headed in Theo Hernandez's sculling cross from the left in the first half before making it 2-0 from the spot after the break. The Swedish footballer has now scored a double in 3 of his last 5 Serie A appearances. In outdoor racing, basketball legend Michael Jordan will partner with 3-time Daytona 500 winner Denny Hamlin to form a new single car NASCAR Cup Series team in the US. The driver will be Bubba Wallace, the only black driver at NASCAR's top level. Jordan will be the principal owner of the team, and Hamlin, who drives for Joe Gibbs Racing, will be a minority partner. Wallace came into the national spotlight this year when he called for NASCAR to ban the Confederate flag, which many Americans see as a symbol of oppression at all events. NASCAR ultimately agreed to ban the flag. Jordan, a 6-time NBA champion, said it seemed like the right time to create the team because quote-unquote NASCAR is evolving and embracing social change more and more, end of quote. He said he saw a chance to educate new audiences, to open opportunities for black people into outdoor racing. And that wraps up the September 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Mukbilia Baru. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Prince Nesta sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sukus, afrobeat to dumbolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.